If you opened up the paper this morning, if you haven't subscribed to the paper the way I do, it was a "Don't go to church, don't go to church" advertisement on the front page. Don't go to church. This is a campaign that's being conducted here in Fayetteville in an effort to get people to go out to an alternative location on Easter Sunday instead of church. We're going to watch a video in just a moment for a minute, 30 seconds, and then we're going to look at the Word of God this morning and take a look about what we should think about the church. This is "Don't Go to Church." Go ahead, Art.
I used to go a lot, but if you were a single mom, you'd understand. My daughter, she's mine, and she's my life. She's not my little mistake. I could trust enough as it is.
People just can't seem to get past all this, but there's so much more to me than how I look. I'm pretty comfortable with who I am, but no, I don't go to church.
Really, if church was just more practical, I mean, I believe something or someone created life, created the world. Do I have to go to a big building to sing 100-year-old songs?
Church? Are you kidding me? If there's anywhere on earth that ought to be colorblind, it ought to be church. For me, no, I don't go to church.
You know, little David killed this giant with a slingshot. I get that. But I need something for my life now. I mean, if they could tell me how to get home from work on time, cook dinner for everybody, get my daughter to and from track practice, and still have time for myself, then maybe I'd go. Otherwise, I don't have time.
Do I go to church? No. Well, yeah, sometimes. But I can tell you what they're going to talk about. Money. For this, for that. What you can do, what you can't do. If I wanted a lecture like that, I'd go see my mom.
There are as many reasons not to go to church.
Any reasons why not to go to church. That's the premise of this video. And so instead of going to church, go to this alternative location. Take your Bibles, please, and let's look at this. Matthew 16, please. Art, it's awful dark up here. Are the lights turned off? Or there we go. I can't even see how, hardly without, so definitely need the light. Matthew 16, once you found your place, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 16, please. Take the time to begin reading it. Verse 13 of chapter 16 of the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say that thou art Elias, and others say Jeremiah and one of the prophets." Verse 15. He saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said unto them, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's read verse 18 again. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the way that it's going to instruct us and to direct us and to encourage us and to teach us. Help me, God, not to be in the way, but be a vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. So you may be seated. What should I think of this idea, this "don't go to church"? What should I think of the church? What should I think of the church? Is the church something that I can or cannot do? Is the church something that I may or may not do? Is the church something that when I'm 18 and mom and dad don't make me go to church anymore, I'm done with this thing? Is the church a man-made thing? Is this whole idea of church, Is it a man-made idea? And I can pick and choose whether I want to go to church or not? The first mention of church is found in the scripture we read this morning. And I want you to notice right away that Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Not Joel Osteen, not some television evangelist. Jesus will build his church. How important is the church? It's important enough that Jesus said, I will build my church. Somehow we're living in a day and age in which young people, most especially, but not just young people, want to separate the two. I'm a follower of Jesus. I just don't go to church anywhere. I don't really need church, but I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm crazy about Jesus. Pastor David, that's essentially much of the video analysis that you guys did in youth group a couple weeks ago, was this whole anti-religion, anti-organized this, but I'm crazy about Jesus. Let me draw an analogy for you. That'd be much like me saying, man, I'm crazy about you, but I can't stand your wife. I don't know how well that would go over in your house, but it wouldn't go over well in my house. We wouldn't spend a lot of time together if you told me, man, I think you're the catch, but your wife, not so much. I don't know when you'd get invited over to the house. I don't know when we'd go out to dinner. I don't know when we'd spend time together. But we got a lot of people. We have a lot of people, please listen this morning, that are crazy, quote, about Jesus, but don't want anything to do with the church that he said, I will build. We're dealing with lots of people who think that checking in with an internet sermon once a week is going to church. The church is the ecclesia. It is a gathering of citizens called from homes to a public place. That doesn't fit when you're in your home watching on the internet. That doesn't fit when you live in Texas, but your church is still back home in Arkansas because Pappy was buried there and that's where we always go. It's a gathering of people for worship in a religious sense. Can I be a follower of Christ in a local church, not be part of my walk with Christ? Is the church a bother in your life? Could you take it or leave it? Do I need to be a member of a church, or is this kind of pick and choose whether I wear blue jeans or khakis, member of a church or not? Is it sort of the same thing? Do buildings matter? I mean, does it matter at all? Buildings are mentioned in the video. Is a good Bible study on Tuesday night just as good? Man, I got a great Bible study. That should be enough. Well, these are the questions that we want to address this morning. These are all the questions. And let me just give you a heads up. This sermon is going to crash at the end because the clock's going to determine. I don't have a beautiful introduction, a wonderful body, and then a nice conclusion because it's 2 weeks. Sorry, we'd have two choices. Stay here for 150 minutes or separate it into two parts. Brother, you're the only one, okay? Oh, okay. Look at this deacon backpedaling on that one. That wasn't me. Don't accuse me of saying that.
But I agree. Yeah,
brother. Sure you do. Yeah, you do. Hey. So what's going to happen is I'm just going to start going through 10 characteristics of the church. And when we get to the time, we're just stop and pick up next week. And that'll just be the way it is. I don't have a sweet conclusion because it's too much of a message. Why this text, Revelation 1, you can turn there. Why this text, Pastor? Why are you going to preach from this text? The answer is because this text, the book of Revelation, is addressed to seven churches. Seven churches. Seven specific churches. Churches that were located at specific cities. Churches that if you were alive in that day, John, you could have went and visited that church. You would have been able to find them. It wouldn't have been a Tuesday night Bible study. So you making a big deal out of something? Yes. Yes, that's right. I am. I'm making a big deal of the church that Christ died for. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm making a big deal of it. I do not believe that it's a good thing that 85% of the residents of Fayetteville sleep in on Sunday mornings. I don't think that's a good idea. Interestingly enough, I bet you if we went around asking 85%, are you going to heaven or hell? Very few of them would say, well, I'm going to hell. I like hell and I'm on my way to hell. Yeah, check hell for me. No. No, no, what they want is, I worship the Lord on my deer stand. I worship my Lord in my boat. I worship the Lord the way I want to worship the Lord. And I do, you know, I pick and choose. That's the world we're living in. So I want to unpack from Revelation chapter 1 much of characteristics of the church. Seven churches. These churches are located in modern day Turkey, Asia Minor. The author is John, writing to us from the island of Patmos. Writing to us from the Isle of Patmos. He says, this is where I'm at. So let's look at Revelation chapter number 1, verse 3, please. I'm going to give you 10 characteristics of a church. Not all 10 today. About half. Somewhere around there. And then next week we'll pick up with the other 5. But look at verse number 3. Of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Notice what it says. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. This is what John understood. John understood, I'm going to pen a letter. The letter will be delivered to a messenger at the church. The messenger will stand and read the word of God. And you'll either, and then you will hear him read the word of God. The idea of you just disconnecting from the church is non-existent in his mind. If you were going to hear this letter, it was because you were connected to one of these seven churches. You wouldn't get a private copy for yourself that you can pick and choose whether you want to come and hear the word of God or not. You would hear it at there. So characteristic number one, is the reading of the word of God aloud is a part of the assembly of these believers. Amen. Now, I'm giving you 10 characteristics over the next 2 weeks and 3 purposes of the church. I'm doing this very deliberately because I recognize in our congregation, many of you are going to leave this summer. That's just the nature of who we are. We are a PCSing kind of a church. So I have a responsibility to make sure you know what to be looking for when you arrive at your next duty station, your next assignment somewhere, that you're educated, that you know what to look. You're not going to be here for 25 years. Most of you will be here for 2 or 3 years and you'll launch somewhere else by orders of the United States Army or some other organization. This will help you to be looking for a church. If you go to a church and they open the Bible, read one verse, put it up, and then you get 40 minutes of storytelling, that's not the right church for you. Characteristic number one is the reading of the Word of God aloud is part of the assembly. Now this is what the man said. If I wanted a lecture like that, I'd go see my mom. We are living in a day and age in which I don't want to be told anything. That's the world we're living in. Don't tell me anything. Don't. I'm my own boss. Don't tell me what to do. I don't want to hear about what I can and can't do. That's not for me. But wait a minute. Let's look at what the Bible says. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And notice this word right here. Keep those things. Keep those things. Here's the reality. If you read this book aloud, you're going to be told some things. It's an impossibility. If you read this book every day of your life, for the rest of your life, you will be told what to do and not to do. There's no way around it. This book is packed full of do this and don't do this. So if you're looking for, I don't want to be part of any organization or anything that tells me what to do. You picked the wrong thing. You picked the wrong thing. Read the Proverbs every day and you're going to be educated on how to think, what to do, what not to do, how to act, how not to act. There's an expectation that we not only hear this, but we do something with it. So when this, and I believe he's a brother in Christ. In fact, I believe that all of them are Christians and they're trying to make a point. So I'm not attacking anyone personally. I'm attacking the idea, the mindset. Make sure you distinguish that. I don't know those people from the man on the moon. There's nothing about them individually. Hear me clearly. But they represent a mindset. They represent a thought. What I want to deal with is the thought, which is if I want a lecture, I go see my mom. Don't tell me what to do. But what John said, blessed is he that heareth, he that readeth, they that hear and keep those things. Jesus said it like this. And we have a lot of people that believe they love Jesus, and there's not a drop of evidence in their life that they keep his commandments. That's a major disconnect from Jesus' perspective. A major disconnect. The same Greek word is found here in the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to, notice this word right here, same Greek word. This time it's rendered observe, but it could just as easily be rendered keep. Keep all the things. Obey all the things. Do that. The bottom line is when I open this Bible, I'm going to be convicted of things. So the church exists to make disciples. This is our edification purpose, our discipleship purpose. I said earlier, most of you are going to be here for 2 or 3 years. Not that. Some longer, hopefully. Then you're going to go somewhere else. If you enter into this church at this level of maturity, and you leave at this level of maturity, we've failed. We have failed. Sunday school teachers have failed. Pastor team has failed. We've all failed. If you enter at this level, and you said, I was faithful to that church. I attended the church's Sunday schools. I attended the church's Bible studies. I went to the preaching services, and I left at this level. And I came in at this level. We failed. We failed miserably. Mark us an F for a church. What's supposed to be happening? You're supposed to be growing while you're here. You're supposed to be growing more knowledgeable, more alert, more aware. You're supposed to be becoming better equipped for the work of the Lord. Nehemiah 8:8 says, and they, that's the Jewish leaders, read in the book of the law, distinctively the book of the law of God, and gave the what? The sense. We take the word of God here, we open it up, and then we make it relevant to today. The sense. And then there is an expectation that you receive it and understand it. Ephesians 4:11 said that God gave us what? Apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers. So the whole segment of Fayetteville that doesn't have a church, that's just completely disconnected from the church, who are their pastors? Who are their teachers? Who are their evangelists? Who are their prophets speaking into their life? What they do is they pick and choose from the internet what they want. Pick and choose from the television broadcast what they want. That's not God's plan. Number two is the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ in his person and work, and the word of God will be preeminent. Look at my characteristics. If you open the chapter, we've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've got reference to the word of God. We've got the testimony of Jesus Christ. Mention of his throne. Mention to him be the glory and dominion. Those are all ideas that if you go to a church and Jesus is not central, go to another church. Go to another church. It is warm in here to me. Is it warm? Yeah, me too, brother. And you're not even up here. Turn it down, whatever we have to do. Revelation of Jesus Christ, the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, his throne, to him be glory and honor and dominion. So in the preaching of God's word, she wants stuff about her life. Hey, let's be clear. There's nothing wrong with what she wants. You just don't go to church for that. You want to learn how to be a better cook? That's awesome. Take a cooking class. But you're not going to get it on Sunday mornings. That's not what the church is for. The church is to reveal Jesus Christ in all his glory. If you're struggling at managing your time, I understand that. Find someone that does it really well and say, can you teach me how to manage my time better? But the church does not exist to get you to be a better time manager. Doesn't exist to teach you how to iron better or put a better crease in your shirt or how to make a better lasagna or manage your finances better or any of those felt needs. Are those legitimate needs? Yes, no question about that. I'm not making those needs less than important. I'm just suggesting to you that the corporate assembly of the church is to exalt Jesus Christ. I would also want to remind you that we're his servants. That life's not about us. It's not about us. I want a church, I want a church, I want a church, I want a church, I want a church. Did you notice how many times it said I? It's not about you. It's not. It's not about you. Where was John when he was writing this letter? He was in his retirement. He was golfing 18 out holes a day. He was living the good life. He had his speed. No, he was on the Isle of Patmos. Breaking, right, on exile, breaking big rocks into small rocks. We can't even relate to that in American Christianity. We cannot relate to it. We cannot relate to being imprisoned for our faith, whipped for our faith, beaten for our faith, boiled for our faith. We can't relate to it. I want. I want a church that does this. I want a church that does that. I've had so many people ask me, what kind of programs do you have? That's not the right question to ask. When you call up your next pastor, don't say, what kind of programs do you have? Why don't you ask, do you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe the Word of God is the infallible and inerrant Word of God inspired, and do you preach it? That's what you should be looking for. True churches will not be man-centered in their preaching and theology. Will not be man-centered. This is what it comes down to. This graph will help you this morning. All churches, every church on the planet is either a true church or a false church. All of them. Every church, every single church. All of them. True church or a false church. All of them. Then within the category of true churches, that's my white box right here, please. Notice I have a number line here. Plus one, plus two, plus three, plus four, plus five. And I've got a minus one, minus two, minus three, minus four, and minus five. Within among the true churches, there are more pure churches and less pure churches. And at one point, as you begin moving away from true doctrine, you get to the point where you cross into false church. You cross the line. Do you know the book of Revelation? If you don't, please read chapters 2, 3 this week. He addresses seven churches. There are problems with every one of those churches. They're not all way over here. And he says to one of them, if you don't fix it, I'm going to take the candlestick. What is he saying? You're going to move from being a true church to a false church. This church right here, Berean Baptist Church, is not guaranteed an eternal existence as a true church. It stays a true church because of our commitment to pure doctrine. The departure from pure doctrine and moving to a man-centered theology is what moves us down this graph. To the point at which eventually you just cross over. And you're a false church. In a false church, you couldn't get saved because the gospel's not preached. In a false church, you couldn't get saved because they don't preach Jesus, the true Jesus. And that's how you know it's a false church. So characteristic number three that you are looking for in a church is you want to hear the gospel. You want to hear the gospel in that church. If you visit a church three or four times and the gospel's not presented, something's wrong. Something's really wrong. Christ needs to be exalted. Christ needs to be preeminent. And you are going to hear about the glorious good news. Look at these verses. Verse number five, first begotten of the dead. Who's that? Who's the first begotten of the dead? That's Jesus. What is that a specific reference to? His resurrection. Him that loved us. Sounds a lot like John 3:16, doesn't it? For God so... Yes, he loved the world that he sent. How about this one? Washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's Christ. Now here's the problem. You can't bring the good news about washing from sins if there are no sins to be washed from. If everybody's awesome and everything's fine and everything's legal and everything's okay and we don't ever tell you anything that you don't want to hear because I don't want to lecture like from mom, then you're not going to get excited about the good news of being saved from my sin. How about verse 7? Which pierced him? That's a direct reference to the cross. How about verse 18? This is a glorious verse. I, Jesus speaking, I am he that liveth, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And then notice the next part. Look at the conjunction. And I have the keys of hell and death. Here's the reality. Please listen. You can be the best soccer mom in the world. I mean, you are the master time manager. Nobody can shuffle people around like you can. You can put a meal on the table like nobody else can, and you clip the coupons beyond measure. I mean, nobody makes savings like you do. Your oatmeal raisin cookies are the best, and they are. I mean, you know how to pull it together. I mean, you were the best soccer mom. Yeah. And then you died and went to hell. Because you were in a church where it was all felt needs. Felt needs, felt needs, felt needs. Time management, cooking, felt needs, felt needs, felt. So you just thought, man, I'm a great mom. I mean, good moms don't go to hell, do they? Surely not, right? I mean, I'm a good mom. Good moms can't go to hell. I was a great mom. Nobody changed the sheets like I did. I did every single week on Fridays, religiously. Nobody changed sheets like I did. You see how we can get so man-centered in our thinking? That we forget about the truth. Jesus said, and I have the keys of hell and death. I have them. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So purpose number two, purpose number one was edification. Purpose number two is outreach. It's evangelism. It's ministries of mercy. It's delivering food to people who need food. It's homeless shelter ministries. It's sharing the gospel with people who need to hear the truth. I challenge first class again this morning like I do every single first class. If you cannot pull out a piece of paper, open your Bible, and share the gospel with somebody, you are broke as a Christian. You're broke. You're of little use to the kingdom of God. If when someone comes up to you and says, hey, how can I be a Christian? You go, ah, bah, bah, bah. I need to know how I go to heaven. Da, 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 da. How can I get my sins forgiven? Well, every single person sitting here ought to be able to explain that. Every person. If you can't do it, identify that and let's fix it. So here, let me remind you. True churches preach the gospel. Once you stop preaching the gospel, you're on a downward slope to becoming a false church. There's no way around that. Moreover, if you compromise on the gospel in any way, shape, or form, you're a false church. So I would tell you that most, if not all, I would hate to make an all statement because all implies knowledge of everything. But I would say the majority, the vast majority, nearly every single one of Roman Catholic churches who include sacraments as a means of getting saved are a false church. Perhaps there could be a priest out there that understands the true gospel, and in his little parish somewhere in a remote part of the world, he preaches truth. But as a general sense, it's not going to be there. Why? Because they include some means of works in order to get saved. It's not Christ and Christ alone. So you should be looking for this when you PCS somewhere. All right, let's talk about this. The guy makes a great point. He makes a great point. We do not want to be a self-righteous organization. Right. We do not want to be a church in which someone comes in with tattoos, they are looked down upon. We do not want to be that church. He's right. How do we fix that? Well, Revelation 1:4 helps us. To the seven churches that are in Asia, grace. Grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. That's what grace is. Grace reminds me that if I have salvation, it was because of God's grace. Grace reminds me if I've been made aware spiritually of something, if God's matured me to a point in my life, if God's worked in my life, if I have a gift, it was not because of me. It was because of grace. So here's what I would suggest to you. If you preach the gospel hard in your church, you remind everyone they're saved by grace, saved by grace, saved by grace. That is a direct assault onto self-righteousness. That mitigates self-righteousness. Let me explain it. We would want someone to be able to walk into this church with a pack of smokes in their pocket and not feel like they're second-class citizens. Now, somebody right now is sitting there saying, I can't believe you just said that. Wait a minute. That's because we have our pet little sins. And we've decided that the sin of smoking a cigarette is a greater sin than the sin of drinking 12-ounce Cokes all day long and consuming a half a pound of sugar. What's the difference? What's the difference? One kills the heart, one kills the heart. It's just done differently. One has an odor and the other one isn't. But they both kill. They both are bad for you. See what I'm saying? We can't pick and choose, church. We can't pick, well, I don't like that right there, but God doesn't mind my selfishness. Or I don't like that right there, but God doesn't mind my attitude. Consider for just a moment, the person with the tattoos is worshiping the Lord, and you with your self-righteous attitude have your arms crossed and no amount of worship's coming out of you because you're so irritated that there's somebody here with tattoos. And you think that God's more okay with you as this man is broken and contrite before God, rejoicing in the gospel, and you are high and exalted in your own self-righteousness. So that's a reasonable perspective. How do you fix that? Preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. Remind people, saved by grace, saved by grace. If you can play basketball, it's because God gave you a gift. If you've got incredible brains, it's because God gave you a gift. If you're talented, God gave you a gift. If you are the best soccer mom in here, it's because God gave you grace to manage things well. And we can go on and on. Recognizing all Christians are saved and gifted by God's grace combats a spirit of judgmentalism. And we should be looking for a spirit of judgmentalism in the church. And it should be like a cockroach. When you see it, you squish it. Turn over to Revelation chapter 5, please. Revelation 5, please. And they sang a new song. And they sang a new song. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us our God's kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as the sea that are on there, I heard them saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever. So the answer is, do I have to go to a big building and sing 100-year-old songs? No. You know what you can sing? You can sing a new song. Yeah, you can sing a new song. You can sing a new song. John, you can keep introducing new songs to us. We're going to get introduced to new songs in heaven. You can sing a new song. You can sing a fresh song. Look at the number referenced in Psalms. Sing unto him a new song. And he hath put a new song in my heart. I sing unto the Lord a new song. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. I will sing a new song. Praise you, Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Are you learning new songs? Are you stuck in a rut? Are you learning new songs? Are you okay with learning a new song? You know, music is a major problem in the church. You recognize that, right? We don't need to stick our head in the sand and pretend it's not. One song blesses somebody's heart beyond imagine. Another person's going, why are we singing that song? That's what's happening. And any given Sunday morning, there's no way in the world that John could ever please all 800 of you. Never. He fails every week at that. One person is just unbelievably upset. Another person is thrilled and beyond measure, crying inside and all that. So can you sing a new song? The answer is yes. But let's hold on. Hold on. You know what? Some of those old songs are incredible. And I would submit to you that it is a mark of maturity if you can appreciate a new song, and it's a mark of maturity if you can appreciate an old song.
Amen.
See, the way we want it is our way always. Come on, that's how we are. We're inherently selfish. So we go to the churches that sing the music that we like. Wait a minute, is that how we select a church? Is that the criteria that we're going to use for selecting a church? No, absolutely not. No. No. Grow. Grow. Young people, recognize that those songs that were written in the 70s, those are incredible songs. And you can sing them and be blessed. Old people, recognize that the new songs that are being written today are be old songs in a few years. True or false? All right, what about church buildings? She made a specific reference to church buildings. I don't need it. Do I have to go to a big building? No, no. The answer is no, you don't. You can go to a hut if you want and worship the Lord. You can assemble Christians together in that hut in North Africa, and that can be a church right there. Absolutely. But I will tell you that there's a reason these people built these buildings. There's a reason why that building was built. There's a reason why this building, there's a building this building was built. Are you anti-building? No, I'm not anti-building. What about theaters, places like that? Do it. Use it. But I have a word of caution. I have a word of caution. As we continue to go down this progressive agenda in America, there's going to be great freedom in owning a piece of property outright and having your own building. Now, I don't have a Bible verse right now to show you this. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you from a practical perspective. Just hear a practical perspective from one preacher. If we start a church like they did in New York, in elementary schools and middle schools all over the place, and one stroke of a pen, you're out of a place to meet.
That's right.
Just like that.
Right. Yep.
And there's nothing you can do to keep that from happening. Just like that, the mayor said, you're out. And thousands of Christians were suddenly without a place to meet. Start a church in a theater. I say start it. But as soon as you can, get into your own piece of property. Yeah. Why? I don't want to be at the mercy of a theater owner that determines whether I can meet or not, when I can meet, what I can say. So I'm not here to mock buildings. I believe that buildings can serve a tremendous testimony to the cause of Christ in a city, as long as they're maintained well. Drive by it and you see a well-maintained church, and it speaks to the existence of Jesus Christ. Number four. Disciples assemble to worship God. Disciples assemble to worship God. That's why we come out of church. That's why we get out of bed and we come to church. I promise you, if you stay home and watch the live webcast, you will not sing to the glory of God the same way.
Right.
What will happen is during the singing, you'll go get the laundry knocked out. If I had the ability to do a reverse camera on there when the people are watching the webcast, what you'd find is they're leaving whenever they feel like it. Yeah, multitasking, right. Multitasking, phone closing, and all that. Let me give you some multitasking. Here's some multitasking for you. There's some multitasking for you. Oh, I know, man. That's, I can't even believe. This is a Baptist church preacher. All right, we'll do it this way then. What are you saying? I'm saying God created you to worship Him. To sing. God gave us a mouth to sing. It's not pick and choose. I don't feel like singing this morning. You sing anyway. You'll be amazed at how that'll get your blesser fixed. Just press through it. Just press through it. I know you come in, it was fell apart. Everybody's in a bad mood and all that. It was a wreck. Push on through and make yourself sing. What's your point? My point is, if you're not connected to a church that sings, where will you learn songs of worship? Yep. FM radio? You got a DJ as a pastor? That's not what I want. I want a person who knows his Bible picking out the songs we sing. Yes. Oh my goodness, are you putting down radio? No, I'm not. I'm just saying it is subordinate to the collective assembly of Christians who worship the Lord on the Lord's day. And that's where you're supposed to be. Purpose number three is worship. All right, let's conclude with this area right here. Less than 10% of U.S. churches are considered racially diverse. Less than 10% of U.S. churches are considered racially diverse. The guy's right. Can't argue with him. That's a great judgment against the church. The number one agent that should be changing the stereotypes and the prejudice in America is doing the least to fix it. There's no way around it. You can't argue with that. In fact, the scripture makes it abundantly clear, Revelation 5:19, that God intends to redeem kindred, tongue, people, and nations. So just think about how shocked all white churches are going to be when they show up in heaven. You're talking about a culture shock? Woo! Golly, I had no idea God was saving all these kind of people. Why? Live in this little tiny world? Narrow vision? I go to church with everyone like me? People who are not like me are not welcomed in my church. Every one of you can think of a church like that. Every one of you can think of a church like that. We stumbled into a church in Louisiana like that. Black person would never be allowed in the church. Would be escorted out. Ungodly, 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 ungodly. Now, let's recognize there are black churches in which white people would not be welcomed either. So we got problems on both sides and every other side. Church is supposed to be racially integrated. The man's right. There's no way around it. You can't argue that. In fact, if you study through, what you realize is that God has ordained the saving of people in every single people group. There isn't going to be any nation, any people, any blood, any kindred that's not represented in heaven. That God has ordained that they are going to be saved, and He will send the missionaries to them. He will call those missionaries. He will fund that missionary effort, and He will launch them in there. And only until God has redeemed people from every single people group on the planet will the end be. So that in heaven we will have a perfect representation of the diversity created by God. So what are you saying? I'm saying the church should work very, 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 very hard to reflect that right now. To reflect that right now. You should not go to an all-black church. You should not go to an all-white church. Should not. All right, we're done. We'll pick up next week on number 6. Let's pray.